Most bankers aren't ready to help you until after their third cup of coffee. But with Central National Bank's after-hours service, you don't have to wait for the bank lobby to open to get help. You can contact us from 6 to 8:30 in the morning or from 5 to 10 in the evening, and we'll connect you to a real, live, local person who can answer questions and fix problems 7 days a week. Bank different. Bank Central. Central National Bank. Member FDIC.
This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
This is a Rogue Media Network podcast. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How is your social battery right now? Are you drained, bursting with energy? It's at this level because maybe you don't have enough boundaries, less social in the winter. There can be many reasons. It can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves thin, especially with social gatherings picking up after the winter. What's the right amount of socializing for you? And how do you recharge? Maybe you thrive around people, or maybe you just need some more time alone. Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. Therapy is helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself, and it isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/365 today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/365.
This is 365 Sports, powered by Sikkim365.com.
Waters! Welcome back, 365 Sports. Paul Catalina flying solo today. And that's why I need to get experts like Kevin Flaherty, college basketball insider for a very long time, with us here on 365 Sports. And Kevin, Scott Drew decides to stay at Baylor and spurn Kentucky. What is your level of surprise or confirmation with this decision?
Yeah, I think there was definitely some surprise. You know, you heard kind of through the years that, you know, Scott Drew was pretty attached to Baylor for a lot of different reasons. And yet at the same time, you know, people kind of talked about, well, if the Kentucky job came open because John Calipari went to the NBA or if he retired or whatever else, that he would be a prime candidate and that he would be interested in what Kentucky had to say. And I think that that process played out in terms of him listening and him being interested. At the same time, the pull of Baylor, of Waco, of the Baylor fans, all of those things wound up being too much. And you have to, it's something to get excited about, right? And I'd say that as a general college basketball fan, because he has Baylor in a spot where he can get that deep into, you know, Kentucky job negotiations, whether you want to say he was offered the job, he wasn't, you know, you see conflicting reports out of Lexington. and look at Baylor and say, you know what, I've got it better at Baylor. I'm going to go ahead and stick there.
So, Kevin, what does – I mean, first of all, for recruiting for Baylor, this has to be huge that he can say, look, I turned down Louisville and Kentucky in the span of 10 days. I want to be here. I feel this is better here. Come look at this new Foster Pavilion. Look at this. Look at this. And I know that he has used these couple of passes at him to solidify his NIL even stronger than it was before.
Sure. And, you know, I don't know how far back your coverage of Baylor goes. I covered Gene Iba when he was at Pittsburgh State, and he used to talk about how hard it was to win at Baylor, you know, when he was there. And I remember very specifically in the early 2000s when Kansas lost a game in the Big 12, and one of the players said in the postgame press conference, you guys need to calm down. It's not like we lost to Baylor or something. And that's before you add in all the circumstances behind the exit and creation of, you know, that opening that Scott Drew wound up taking. And so when you look at where the program was and you know, the lack of TV games and all of the different things that they had to go through, the NCAA sanctions, for them to come out on the other side and be a good college basketball program would be one of the best coaching jobs in college basketball history. To take it further than that and win a national championship at Baylor, again, even if you just looked at, you didn't look at all the NCAA stuff and you just looked at, hey, this is how much Baylor has struggled up to this point. I think that would be a miracle in itself. And then having a hit where you can say, hey, Kentucky is, in my mind, Paul, is the best job in college basketball. At least it's sort of that number one job where you say, you have everything there to win at Kentucky. It's the best of the blue bloods, I think. You've got all the history. You know, they've got facilities. You know, you have access to NIL, all of those different things. And Scott Drew said no. And so for him to be able to walk into the house of the next VJ Edgecombe who's coming in and be able to say to him, like, hey, I could have had everything over there at Kentucky. I'm at Baylor. Let me tell you why. And to point out, you know, Foster Pavilion, to point out all the different things that go with it. I think that's one heck of a recruiting pitch, and it wouldn't surprise me at all. Baylor recruits pretty well already. It wouldn't surprise me at all to see this add a little extra gas in that tank.
So where does Kentucky go from here? You know, this was, he's the only one who's got an offer to this point. So it's not like they've been turned down by three or four people, but I do see parallels to this in the Texas coaching search when they replaced Mack Brown, like, because it's such a huge brand and you want to try to rope in the biggest fish possible. But the minute you go for one big fish, the other ones kind of swim away.
Well, and it's so funny you say that, because I had that exact same thought, because I covered Texas when that whole thing went down. And I remember very specifically, Texas had a candidate that they got turned down by some guys, but they had a candidate they really liked who wasn't able to come in initially. And Texas A&M fans may cringe when I say the name. It was Jimbo Fisher. Mm-hmm. And Jimbo Fisher was getting ready. Florida State was going to play in the national title game. And it was one of those things where you ask Texas, you know, hey, are you going to sit pat and wait for Jimbo to come out of this and go after that guy if that's really your candidate? Or are you going to kind of hurry up and get this done with somebody maybe you're not quite as excited about? And Kentucky is in a very similar situation, I think, with Billy Donovan, right? Billy Donovan hasn't said yes. He hasn't said no, which is different than, you know, Dan Hurley saying no, different than Scott Drew saying no. But if that's your guy, you have a choice now, because you aren't going to really be able to get this thing off the ground, I don't think, until that season ends. Do you wait on Billy Donovan and risk missing on him saying no and going through kind of the whole thing again? Or do you kind of start pushing forward with somebody else that maybe you aren't super excited about. If it were me, I'll be honest with you. You know, it's, I know that Xavier didn't have the best season this year. I think Sean Miller would be a candidate for me just because of the success he had at Arizona. He was really close to going to a Final Four. You know, he can recruit. And quite frankly, the reasons he lost his job at Arizona aren't applicable anymore, right?
Yeah.
Like, you can pay guys now with NIL and things like that. And so, you know, that would be a choice for me. I think Mick Cronin is an unbelievable coach. And I think, you know, there would maybe be some question of personality fit. You know, Mick can be, I think, a little bit grating when people question what he's doing, and Kentucky fans love questioning what their coach is doing. But I also think that he's the type of guy that when you play UCLA, you play UCLA basketball. He forces you to play the way that they want to play. And there's something to be said for that. And so I'm not sure exactly where they go at this point, but they do face that a similar choice to what Texas had after Mack Brown, where do you sit and wait on your candidate and say, this is our guy? You know, yes, this may give them some leverage if we're waiting a little bit longer, whatever else, but we're going to go get this guy and risk it. Or do you just go ahead and say, you know what, we need to move on. We're going to go get somebody else.
Yeah, nothing that Billy Donovan said when he was asked about it makes you think that he would never do it either. I lean towards he'd stay in the NBA, but it's not like he's exactly ripping it up there. And it's not like the Bulls have, you know, a short-term future that involves multiple national titles either, you know, or national or NBA titles. So, I mean, I think he's gettable for them. And I think he didn't say anything that he wouldn't be interested. He just said he's with the Bulls right now. And again, the timing of this is, like you said, awful. But, you know, if it works out, it would seem to be, you know, a way bigger home run than Scott Drew would be. And that's no offense to Scott, but, you know, look, they can't have the guy who just won back-to-back national titles, but they could maybe get the last guy who did it.
Sure. And it's interesting too, because a big part of the reason you heard that Billy Donovan left was he was tired of all the recruiting stuff. And you look at all of sort of the classic coaches, if you will, the Roy Williamses, the Coach K's and guys like that who got out, you know, sort of at the explosion of this NIL deal and everything. Is Billy Donovan really going to want to leave an NBA job where his job is to coach guys? He doesn't have to scout, you know, in terms of scouting, you know, college guys for the NBA. His GM takes care of that. He doesn't have to do a lot of those things. He can just coach basketball and get paid a lot of money to do it. Is he going to want to leave that sort of situation to go to Kentucky, which has a lot of bells and whistles, but also has some trappings? And all of a sudden, not only is he dealing with recruiting, which he didn't like before, but he's dealing with NIL and all of the different things that go along with that too. And so there is some risk to waiting for Billy Donovan. Like you said, you know, if you get Billy Donovan, that's a home run. You know, your alums are all applauding at the press conference. Everybody's talking about how you won the offseason. But what happens if you wait for Billy Donovan and you don't get him? That's another question.
Yeah, absolutely. Why would they not consider Will Wade? Or should the school that Kentucky poaches from, provided it's probably not UCLA, why would they not consider Will Wade?
No, I think Will Wade is somebody that makes a lot of sense for a lot of the same reasons that I think Sean Miller makes a lot of sense, in that the reasons that those guys are at the coaching level that they're at, it's not that they were bad coaches. They didn't get fired for being ineffective. What happened was they wound up getting caught in, if you want to call them, antiquated NCAA rules and the different things like that. That's the reason that he's down at McNeese. That's the reason that Sean Miller is over at Xavier. And so when you look at all that, it makes sense. It does kind of crack me up. You're seeing the odd Kentucky fan saying, hey, you know, Rick Pitino, come home type of stuff. But no, I mean, it does make sense to look at somebody like that. And I think that would be, you know, maybe a more inspired choice than, you know, just looking at, hey, who's a major conference coach that has a good record? Let's go get this guy.
Do you think it's a flaw to want a coach that has a national championship as one of your, you know, must-have criteria?
I think so, because I think if you're Kentucky specifically, you should feel like if a guy has had success, you can get him over that hump, right? A Nate Oates or somebody like that who has not won a national title but just reached a Final Four, you should be able to look at Nate Oates and say, well, okay, but he probably wins a national title at Kentucky. You know, you have the things to get them those last few steps that maybe they didn't have it at their previous stop. And the other thing is, it's really hard to win a national title. And not only is it hard to win a national title in terms of you need to be really, really good and you need to be great as a coach, but you also need luck to do it. And so I think that's the other thing too, is there have been some really good coaches that have had bad luck. And so when you look at that too, I think, you know, one of the arguments against Miller, and I realize I keep bringing up Sean Miller, but one of the arguments against him is that he doesn't have any Final Fours. Well, they went into overtime one of those years. I mean, you're a bucket away from a Final Four. So, you know, is it really that, you know, you weren't a good enough coach to go to the Final Four? And so I really think that there is a flaw in looking at it like that. And I also think, too, you know, a lot of coaches, when you go to Kentucky, you don't just go to win a national title. You know, Calipari won a national title. What they want you to do is be consistently great and be a national title type team, a contender year in and year out. And so you look at, you know, Kevin Ollie took over for, you know, for Calhoun and wound up winning a national title. He's not who you want running Kentucky in terms of, hey, you're going to spend the next 10 years dominating college basketball.
Mitch Barnhart is 65. Sure. This is more than likely his last big basketball hire. If he does not get this one right, does this mean that he probably, even if he wanted to, won't get to make the next one?
Yeah, I think so. And I think even beyond that, I think there are going to be a lot of people watching what John Calipari does at Arkansas, given that it was no secret that the two kind of had a frayed relationship or frayed deal, because Calipari was asking for certain things within that program and Barnhart wasn't granting them. And whether you come down on Barnhart's side of that or you come down on Calipari's side of that, it's only going to be natural for people to look at, hey, if the next hire doesn't work out and Calipari is over at Arkansas winning games, you know, that's when you start to look at it and say, well, okay, you know, who is the real winner here? You know, should he get to make that next hire? Typically, athletic directors at most places, the football hire is the most important one. And if you mess that up, a lot of times you don't get to make another football hire. But at Kentucky, with the way that fan base is and everything else, you know, you better get that basketball hire right. And if you don't, and if Calipari finds success at Arkansas, which I think he will be pretty successful there, you know, I think that those two things are going to combine and make it really, really tough for him to continue to have his job and make that next basketball hire.
For Arkansas, have they made a hire that gets them back into the upper echelon, the Nolan Richardson 40 minutes of hell days, or did they make their Jimbo Fisher hire?
I think, you know, it's really funny. I think it could be both. And the reason I say that is, I think it's really important who he brings on as assistants, because I think as good as Calipari is at so many different things, and I actually think he's an underrated coach. And I wrote an article to that extent, you know, a few years ago, you know, just talking to different people. I even talked to Bill Self about it, since he knows Calipari so well. And one of the things that he said was, there are a lot of coaches who can take, you know, a good player and make him a little bit better, or take an average player and make him good. It's very rare to get somebody who can take a guy who's already great and a great talent and really elevate what they have. And he mentioned the fact that they were able to get so many one-and-done guys to buy in defensively and to playing unselfishly. And a lot of the things that, Kentucky has kind of been known for throughout the years, although this year's team was totally different and scored like crazy and couldn't defend anybody. But I do think that it's going to really depend on, who he surrounds himself with. He needs, for one thing, I think they took a hit when Kenny Payne left. You know, I think that Payne was a guy that related with a lot of players and also was a guy that was pretty good come practice time in terms of helping them out. I think you look at Texas Tech this year and how effective they were because of their assistant coach hires along with everything else. And I think that's where I sit with Calipari, is I think Calipari is going to get talent because he's John Calipari and he dominates the living room. But whether or not Arkansas is going to be merely a really good team or they're going to be a team that's reaching Final Fours, has a chance to win national titles like the Nolan Richardson era, I think it's going to depend a lot on who he surrounds himself with and whether those voices are heard, whether he's listening to those guys. I think that's going to be a big part of it.
Absolutely. Well, Kevin, thanks you so much. We've got to do more with you, Kevin. Every time you come on, it's magical. I'm not a writer. You're the writer. But great
thanks,
stuff.
Paul,
really appreciate it. Kevin Flaherty, College Basketball Insider.
This has been a Rogue Media Network production.